Thank you for that, ladies. Great job on that. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find. And where does that strength come from? It comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've figured out that the theme of our services, I'm sure y'all have realized this maybe a time or two, it is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about what He has done for us, the strength that we receive, that we get, that as He enables us to walk this Christian life. And really, He's the one that's doing the walking, and He's the one that's doing the work. We get to walk with Him. And it's just amazing each and every day, even though different challenges may come our way and situations, circumstances beyond our control, but we know where we can find strength. We know where we can go to every time. What a friend we have in Jesus. Have you faced any trials or temptations? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can you find a friend so faithful? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Man, it's all about Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we're here. And that is, again, the theme behind our Bible study and these messages that we've been going through is how Jesus Christ cares. And really, that's the theme is Christ cares. And over the last several weeks, we've been talking about different aspects, if you will, of how Christ cares, how Jesus cares for each of us, how He cared for His disciples, how He cared for those that He ministered to, not only just in the day that He walked this earth. Obviously, we know our Lord and Savior, He's eternal. He's been through it all, if you will, and He's seen it all because He is God. But how He worked in Old Testament times. And yes, He did work in Old Testament times. Remember, He expounds to His disciples on the road to Emmaus how things pertaining to Him in the law and the prophets. So He was there. And then even in the time when He walked the earth and even beyond, and even still today, He still works. The Bible tells us that He is still doing a good work in us. And that'll be performed until the day of Jesus Christ. All right. So it's all about Jesus Christ and what He is doing. And again, we're talking about His care. So you should be in the Gospel according to Mark chapter number 2. We read the text already this morning, and that's verses 13 through 17. And I'm just going to read the whole thing again. But I do want to just take a notice here. We'll look at verse number 17, and then we'll kind of back up and work our way through this passage of Scripture. But the Bible says in verse number 17, this is after the Pharisees and the scribes had questioned His disciples, why is Jesus eating with publicans and sinners? Jesus heard it. He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Today we're going to talk about the aspect of how Christ's care is available. Christ's care is available, and to whom it is available. Who can receive this care that Jesus Christ offers? Christ's care is a care in which we all can trust, if I can put it that way. In these past few weeks, we have been in Mark chapter 4 and 5. So we started out looking at the disciples with Jesus on the sea and how Jesus calmed the storm with those three really simple words, peace, be still. How He cared for the disciples. Remember, they asked Him, carest thou not that we perish? And of course He did. And He knew where they were going. He knew what was on the other side of the sea. Yet even in that moment, even though there was a lack of faith by His disciples, He still cared for them, and He proved His care for them. In chapter 5, last week, and in the weeks prior, we looked at how that maniac, demoniac, the man that was possessed by a devil in the land of the Gadarenes, how he was in the tombs, and just night and day, just causing a ruckus, if you will. No man could, they tried, chains were put on him, fetters were put on him, all those were broken asunder. No man could tame him, if you will. No man could control him. So we recognize it was a God-sized problem. And in that, we saw how much Christ cares. We saw that He does care. And He cared enough to even go for one individual. He cared enough to see, as I mentioned before, He cared enough to go and see somebody at their worst and still not run away, but show them His love and His care for them. For His disciples, they cried,
Careful not that we perish. He cares enough to hear the plea, the cry, and brings peace. So we looked at, in the week prior, we looked at how much Christ cares and how do we know he cares. Last week, we looked at some of the benefits of Christ's care. For that man in Gadara, you know, that land of the Gadarenes, there was peace that came through what Christ did for him. There was clarity that came and even stability in his life. He was in his right mind. For we looked at last week the narrative of the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus' daughter who was at the point of death, his only 12-year-old girl. In that, we saw some benefits of Christ's care, that there was hope because Christ is God, that hope was always available. We saw that there was healing as a part of the benefit of Christ's care. Christ is the greatest physician, and he knows the prescription that is needed, even when men do not. There was life that's in Christ's care. Christ had the power to make one new, both physically and spiritually. We talked about that last week. And then the visibility that comes with Christ's care, that there are individuals, many individuals, that got to see wonder working, miracle working power. And they realized, they saw the greatness of God, and many gave glory. They were amazed, they were astonished. And the Bible says they saw, and when they talk about amazed being astonished, they saw a supernatural act take place. Because the last time someone passed away in our lives, we couldn't speak words to bring them back, to resurrect them back. But Jesus, he said to the young lady, "Damsel, arise," took her by the hand, and arose she did. There is the supernatural there, the benefits that come of Christ's care. This week, we're going to see who can receive Christ's care. Who qualifies? When we talked about healthcare a little bit, and bring healthcare in a little bit about it, because when you get it from your job, it's like, all right, what healthcare can I get? What do I qualify? Or even if it's not your job, it's something you buy personal healthcare. What healthcare do I qualify for? Well, there's some healthcare that I can't get, but others can. There's some that you can't get that I can't. You get the idea. It's not everybody qualifies for all healthcare. All right, there are stipulations. There are quote unquote red tape. There's just different things that either disqualify or qualify us for certain types of healthcare. But the neat thing about Christ's care is that it is made available to all. And with the help of Scripture today and some other surrounding scriptures, we're going to see those who qualify for Christ's care. In the weeks prior, we saw those that qualify, we alluded to some, who received Christ's care were those who were fearful and doubting, the disciples on the sea, those who were crazed and uncontrollable, that man of Gadara. There were families and communities that were shown Christ's care. Remember, that man from Gadara wanted to follow Christ. And what did Christ do? He said, no, go back home. Tell your friends, tell your family. And what did he do? He didn't just tell friends and family. He published the word of Jesus Christ. He published the change that Christ brought in his life to Decapolis. So 10 Gentile cities. There are those that are reputable and those that are of ill repute. I think of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. I'm sure that he was a man that had a name. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been in that position for just no good reason. But people, I'm sure, looked up to him. And Christ's care was offered to him. There was the ill repute, the lady, the woman with the issue of blood, who could be considered accursed, who was considered an outcast, if you will, in that community. Yet, or you can say she was the least. But even she saw Christ's care and received his care. The old and the young. Think about the Jairus' daughter, the 12-year-old, who when Christ said, rise, she did. Then there's those that are healthy and even hurting. If we look earlier in Mark chapter 2, we'll get back to our text here in just a moment. But look earlier in Mark chapter 2, we find that there is a palsied man. So a man who is who had some type of paralysis, and roof was pulled on, and so the house where Jesus is in, it's full. The men that were bringing this palsied man, brought him on his own bed. They took the roof down. They took the roof apart. They lowered his bed in. And that man saw Jesus, or saw the care of Jesus, and received that care. He was healed. Not only was he healed physically, but I believe he was also healed spiritually that day as well. But as you can tell, there are many that qualify for Christ's care, and maybe you can consider yourself in part of that group. But let me leave this statement here. Christ has seen to it that his care, his love, has been made available to all men. So how does one know if he or she qualifies for his care? How do we know? How does one know? From our text, and again, our scripture surrounding it, we will catch a glimpse of just a few more groups here, three groups of individuals that qualify for Christ's care. And as we go through these, maybe you can say, yeah, I identify with that group, with that individual. But let's go to the Word of God here this morning. So the first group, and I guess I put them, I'll lump them together here, are, now we would, this is the term that we'd use today, would be the white collar and the blue collar folks. Now you'll see what I mean here in just a moment. But let's go back to our text. Let's look at Mark chapter number 2. Let's talk about that white collar folks here. And he, Jesus, went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. He was sitting in his office. I don't know if it was a cubicle, if it had the dividing walls where he's sitting at one desk, and then on the other side of that divider is a co-worker. I don't know how their office space works. I just picture in my mind this is kind of what it looks like. I used to install office furniture and install cubicles, work surfaces, the little file drawers. So that's how I just kind of picture this office. Now, it could have been a bigger place. It's not just my guess. It's probably not just some dinky office, but you get the idea. He's probably sitting at his desk, and then Joe is over here at his desk, and then there's Molly over there in the corner. She's got her desk area, and they're all just going through paperwork, and they're just doing their job. But I kind of here's how I was. Jesus is going by the, he's walking by the seaside, and he comes to the receipt of custom. He comes to the tax collector's office because everyone loves the tax collector, and whether he walks in the front door, or maybe Matthew is sitting there, or maybe there's a window there, and Jesus just kind of pokes his head into the teller window. And what does the Bible say? And he said unto him, follow me. Now, my guess is that Matthew, in other scriptures, we find that Levi is Matthew. Levi and Matthew, they're one and the same. But this man Levi, my guess is, just like everyone else, had heard of Jesus. Maybe he had seen a miracle or two. I don't know. Bible doesn't necessarily tell us. But probably just like everybody else, they had heard of Jesus and of this man who was performing miracles, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising up the dead. This is a teacher, a master. And when someone like Jesus, or even if we can put it this way, to one of the religious leaders, they see you and they say, hey, follow me in some way. They're counting you worthy of, hey, I believe you'd make a good candidate for whatever, so come and follow me. And we read in Scripture that Matthew is actually one of the called of one of Jesus' disciples. But Jesus said unto him, follow me. Just sitting at his office, sitting in his desk, whatever, sitting in his workspace, the white-collar individual, you know? Jesus said, come. You know, the Bible says he received Jesus' care. And you know, the proof of that, I believe, would be the very next verse. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house. So there's a feast here. Why is there a feast? Well, everyone likes food, I'm sure. But the thought that I have here, one, he's Matthew, Levi, is celebrating a change. And that was a change that Jesus did in his life. And just take an opportunity to thank God. And at the same time, hey, this is what Jesus did for me. This is the change that he brought, and I want you to know about it. But I believe that Levi experienced that care of Jesus. So the white collar, what about the blue collar? Let's back up to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter 1. So those that are out in the field that are doing that work. Now as he, verse number 16, now as he, this is Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee. I love a lot of his ministry starting. It seems like we're talking about the sea here, all right? Now, as he walked by the sea, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway, we heard that word this morning in Sunday school, straightway, immediately, they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now, obviously, we can keep going on reading through Scripture and seeing how Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and how the Lord used them and throughout the ministry, throughout his earthly ministry, but also even beyond that. We have men here, fishermen, hard workers. They're working with their hands. They're going out to sea at different hours of the day and working hard to make a living. Not saying that the one working at the sitting at the desk doing his work there isn't working hard, working, not making a living there. But it's not only just for those that sit in the office and work in the office there, but it's also for those that are hard working out in the field, working with their hands, working with whatever what God has given to them. But I want you to just keep this, think about this. Their occupation, whether it was receipt of custom or fisherman or tent maker or whatever occupation, whatever time there was going on there, their occupation had no bearing on whether or not they received Christ's care. God, Jesus changed these men spiritually, giving them new, causing them to be born again, if you will, new life. But it didn't matter whether they were fishermen or tax collectors or this or whatever other occupation. Their occupation had no bearing. Jesus said, follow me. Their reputation had no bearing. Their character had no bearing. Now, as a fisherman, these are probably rough and tumble guys, and they're sailors, if you can put it, if I can put it that way. And I'm sure their reputation preceded them in some form or fashion. But their reputation, their character had no bearing on the care that they qualified for from Jesus. That was made available to them. Their conversation, that would be the not necessarily their talk, but their conduct, how they carried themselves, had no bearing on the care that they received from Jesus, the love that they shared. Jesus has simply spoken, and it was really all it took. They qualified, the white collar, the blue collar. How about this group? They're mentioned together in verse number 15. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners. So we've got white collar, blue collar. We've got publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. We see there publicans and sinners. Now, a publican is what Matthew was. That would be the term there. A publican was among the Romans. This is what Webster's 1828 dictionary would say is among the Romans, they were, I love how they put it, how he puts it, a farmer of taxes and public revenues. Just simply put, hey, it's that time to claim the harvest of taxes, and we're coming for them. So that was a tax collector, and I think just like the rest of us, we enjoy when you work hard, you make your wages for the week, and then off the top comes that little bit called taxes. Now, Lord willing, we get to see those again later. We're not going to go into any more details on that because maybe you could, maybe you don't, but whatever. But we all enjoy when those taxes come out, and I'm sure that the people in that day, the Jews at that time, I'm sure they knew what time of the year it was. Then they hear the, everyone, hide. It's Matthew. It's Levi. It's whoever the tax collector is. Let them know we're not home. You can hear that. You can hear the rustling in the inside the house. But I'm sure that their reputation preceded them. In fact, part of the definition here is the inferior officers of this class were deemed oppressive. These publicans, they were, we'll put it this way, they were not morally consistent. They could be considered morally inconsistent. They were In most cases, they were thieves. They knew what needed to be charged for taxes, yet they could charge that and then pull a little bit more, and then what would they do? They'd put that in their own pocket for themselves. They were known to be thieves, unkind. They were considered to be liars, false accusers. They took bribes, extortioners. These men weren't men, and perhaps even women. They were corrupt, if you will, all right? But this man, Matthew, a publican, we don't know, much about him, but the commentary is reading, it was says here that it probable that he was an extravagant young man, and else being a Jew, he would never have been a publican. Yet, understand this, Christ called him to follow him. Think about the Apostle Paul. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul, we'll just put the executioner of Christians. Yet, and he considered himself the chiefest of sinners, yet he was called to be an apostle of God. So with God, through Christ, there is mercy to pardon even the greatest of sins, and there is grace to sanctify the greatest of sinners. You see, later tradition has it that Matthew became an evangelist. God used him to pen one of the books of the Bible that we have today, the book of Matthew. And he wrote of the life of Christ. You see, great sin and scandal before his conversion are no bar to great gifts, graces, and advancements after. Nay, God may be the more glorified. You know, it didn't matter what his reputation was in Matthew's case, being a publican and all these other publicans. Jesus came for a purpose. Publicans, let me read this for you. A faithful, fair-dealing publican was so rare that even at Rome, that there was one named Sabinus who kept a clean reputation in that office, that after his death, he was honored with this inscription: "Here lies an honest publican." All right, I can't read it in the language there, but it just says, "Here lies an honest publican." They actually honored the man because everyone knew the reputation of publicans. But whether in Matthew's case, Levi's case, or even my guess is he's at the receipt of custom, so it's not just an office where it's just him. There's others there that these folks were looked on not favorably by other Jews. In fact, they could be considered sellouts for the Roman government. But Jesus knew there was a reason why he came. And it was to come for publicans and sinners. The scribes and Pharisees, they saw in verse number 16, they saw him eat with the publicans and Pharisees. Jesus' company, if you noticed, Jesus' company wasn't necessarily always with the highfalutin' folks of the day. It was with the common folks. It was with those who recognized, I'm really not anybody, but he's somebody, and I want to follow him. Now, I realize not everybody followed Jesus to the end. We read in the Gospel of John that at one point, many turned back and forsook following after Jesus. There were many that followed just out of curiosity, but there were those that followed because they believed who Jesus was. But those publicans and sinners. See, this feast that Levi that he put on, it demonstrated not only the change in his life due to his conversion to Christ, but also his thankfulness to God. It testified of his reverence to Christ and his gratefulness of Christ's kindness shown to him. And if I put it this way, a former publican turned, if I can put it this way, a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of the gospel. He was praising God for that. You know, it didn't matter what his background was. It didn't matter how he treated folks in his past. He realized, there's nothing I can do about that anymore. But there's something I can do about it now and go forward. He received that care. He received the love of Christ. Sinners, publicans and sinners. No, a sinner as one who is a violator of God's divine law. Dictionary puts it this way, an offender. Another word even stronger, a criminal. A criminal. The Pharisees and scribes consider the publicans really to be the worst of sinners. That's obviously, we don't see that necessarily them saying this, but in their minds, can you picture the Pharisees and the scribes? They're looking at Jesus and they're looking down on this group of people that Jesus is, he's chosen to be a part of. Now, let me ask us here today. Well, before we get to that, before I get this question, think about when I mentioned the word criminal. So one who has not received a pardon of his sins, if you will, I think of the thief on the cross. In Mark 15, in Matthew chapter 27, he knew that he and the other thief across from, or on the other side of Jesus, knew that they're there for a reason, because of our sin. Now we recognize, and we know, reading in the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, recognize that one of those thieves trusted Christ. He believed on Christ. But, you know, Jesus didn't say, no, you're a thief. I can't help you. What did Jesus say? Today, that's in Luke 14, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He received Jesus' care even in his last day. He sought out Jesus in his love, and Jesus showed it to him on that cross. So even offenders of God's law, sinners, criminals, which leads me to ask us the question. And I realize I'm preaching too much to the choir this morning. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible doesn't mince words. It says all. So publicans and sinners in that day, publicans and sinners today, that would include us. Christ's care is made available to sinners. His love is made available to sinners. So we've seen to the white collar, the blue collar, we've talked about others already, to publicans and sinners. And I realize it's not in our text here, but the third group would be just simply this: men, women, and children. Men, women, and children. The Bible says in verse number 15, at the end of the verse, talk about the publicans and sinners, they sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many. The Bible doesn't tell us who this many is and how many are many. It doesn't even tell us whether they're all men, they're women and children. It just says many. And we do know that men were healed and followed Jesus. We just read about that palsied man. We can go back a few other scriptures. We can talk about the disciples. Many of the miracles that we do see, they're dealing with men, but that doesn't mean they're the only ones that followed or that are qualified for Christ's care. Because let me ask you something. Does a doctor today only see male patients? Do they only see female patients? Do they only see adults? Do they only see children? I realize they're specialists for different things. I get that. But, I mean, does a physician just say, nah, I'm not meeting with you because of... Now, that's an earthly physician. I get it. There's different things. And, yeah, we can see it today. We can see it in 2 weeks. We can see it in 5 months. You kind of get the idea there. But Jesus, he met with all men. Again, many, we read about in Scripture how many men were called, many were healed, and many were following. Again, the many, the calling of his disciples, those that were sick. We talked about them that were healed. The man of Gadara, the palsied man, just previously in this chapter. There were many that followed, but there were women that were healed and followed him as well. Mark 16 in verse number 9, it references a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene, out of whom was cast seven devils. And if you the context of Mark 16 is the resurrection of Christ. She was one of the first that came to look for her Lord and Master. Remember, Jesus came and appeared to her, and she thought it was the gardener. But then, when he said who it was, what did she say? Rabbi, Rabbi, or Rabboni, Master, Lord. She followed him. But she was the only woman. it also talks about how Mary Magdalene, then in Luke 24, there was Joanna, there was Mary, the mother of James the Less and Joseph, there was the mother of Zebedee's sons, and then there were other women who came to the tomb because they wanted to see their Lord and Master. Then those that were women that were sick or that had a need. There was the Syrophoenician woman, the woman of Tyre and Sidon, whose daughter was nigh unto death in Mark chapter 7. In fact, we've got a moment here. Let's go over there. Mark chapter 7. His care is not only just for men, but it's for women as well. Mark 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the child first be filled, or children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yea, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, or found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. This woman, knowing who Jesus was, being a Jew, and she's not a Jew, she, I believe, she considered a Samaritan, if you will. And obviously there was some discrimination, if you will, there. There was... Yeah, they weren't always on good terms, we'll put it that way. But you know, Jesus still did a work for her. She sought him. Help me. I have a need. My daughter has a need. I believe you can fix that. And there was Jesus healed sick that day. He cast out a devil that day. But there was men, there was women, there's even children. In John chapter 6, there is the lad. Perhaps he was just there by chance. But I don't believe he was there just by chance. I believe the Lord had a reason for that young man, that boy, that lad, to be there with his 5 loaves and 2 fish. Perhaps he was like, I just want it. Jesus is here. I haven't seen him before. I can't go far. I can't go too far from home. But he is here in town, or he's over there on the hill. I'm going to go hear him. Then there were the little children that were brought to Jesus. And Jesus said, Suffer the little children not to come unto me. Jesus wanted them around him. His care was for them. But then again, also there's that 12-year-old daughter of Jairus who was sick. And Jesus raised her from the dead. So who qualifies for this care? Well, there's the ones that sit in their office that are working there. They're the workers, if you will. There's those that are blue collar that are out in the field. That are out in the field working. There are those that are in between or even before or after. There are the publicans, those whose character and reputation precede themselves, and sinners. Now, that also goes to say the publicans were also in that group of sinners, but also the Pharisees and scribes were part of that group of sinners. They just didn't realize it themselves. But it's for publicans who may not have been the nicest and the kindest person. Are we always kind to everybody? Do we have moments where we just kind of go off and blow our stack and get upset with people? Have we ever lied? Have we ever been not necessarily forthright? Violators of God's law? Christ's care, his love, you qualify for that. Then also men, women, and children, which I believe covers just about everybody else in this room. We all qualify for Christ's care. I hope and realize, in which I believe you already have, that everyone, Christ's love and his care is really made available to everyone. I believe it's in the book of Matthew, the Bible tells Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount that God allows the sun to rain on, or to come down on the just and the unjust, the rain to fall in the fields of the just and the wicked. God does do that. His care and his love, he is still a faithful God. That will not, nor will it ever change. So who qualifies? The sick, the sinner. I didn't finish our passage there in Mark chapter 2, so if you get back there, Mark chapter number 2, and we're going to close this here in just a moment. Jesus said in verse number 17, Verse 16, when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Who qualifies the sick, the sinner, the man, the woman, the child, everyone? And I pray that you realize that no matter who you are, you qualify for his care. You see, Jesus came to call sinners to repentance, to turn, that they would turn from their sinful ways to the one who is the embodiment of forgiveness. I realize at that point in time, Jesus Christ is still walking with them. He hasn't gone to the cross yet. But the same applies, that men would be drawn to him, believe on him. And now they're looking forward to that. We get to look back. We're still placing our faith and the trust in the one who is the embodiment of forgiveness, and his blood was shed. We're still placing our faith and trust in the same individual, and that is Jesus. Jesus came not for a few sinners, not just a few publicans, who were sinners just as much as the Pharisees and scribes, but for all sinners, those who are sick with the disease of sin. The Pharisees and scribes were offended, and they criticized Jesus for the company he kept. They said that he should separate from them. But thankfully, Jesus did not withdraw. You see, his company was hated, but he knew that they needed compassion and they needed care. They were sick, some physically, but all spiritually. And they were in need of a physician. That physician is the Savior, Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and scribes thought that Christ's character should separate him from them, which in reality is a truth. Because he is still God, what is God's relationship with sin? Sin and God, they're separate. Holy, unjust, doesn't work. But, so they were true in that sense. There's a truth there that he should not be there. But there's a reason why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to call sinners to repentance. See, Jesus is still that perfect holy God, and he knew and stated that he was to call sinners to repentance, and his business lay most with those that are the greatest of sinners. So, in closing here, could you identify yourself with any of the groups that we mentioned today? The great and the least, those that were reputable, those that were of ill repute, worker in the office, a worker in general, a publican, mean, unkind, liar, morally inconsistent, a sinner, men, women, and children. I'm sure we can identify with many, if not all of those groups. But understand that the greatest need that each of us have is the disease of sin. It is not the disease that we can handle on our own, but Christ has already dealt with it and defeated sin through his vicarious death on the cross. Romans 5:8 states that God commendeth his love toward us. He showed, demonstrated, if you will, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The short of it is that when one realizes his or her need for the remission of sin and the receiving and believing in Christ as the only one to have the prescription for their sin, can that individual be born again, be brought back or reconciled? We heard about that in Sunday school this morning. And the Bible makes it clear that Christ came for sinners. He loves each and every one, and his care is for all sinners. Therefore, he cares for you. And if we want to know him more, we can come to him today. Jesus said, follow me. To the disciples, I will make you fishers of men. I will change you. And he can, and he still does, and he will today. He can change the community, and he can change our county, Dane County. He can change Madison, the folks in Madison. He can change hearts there, Sun Prairie, surrounding area, but he can also do the same in DeForest. And we look forward to sharing that message with the community here. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise your name for this time. Lord, we do thank you that we can know of your care and realize that your care is made available to each and every one of us. Lord, it doesn't matter what our background is, doesn't matter our name or even just our character, our way of life. It doesn't matter. Your love is for each and every one of us. It was demonstrated when Christ died on the cross. And Lord, I pray that as we know of that, that we would be as that man of good air, that we would share how much Christ changed us. And exhibit the love of Jesus Christ, and may it be seen in our lives. Lord, it's a message that needs to be proclaimed and uttered and published throughout all the land. Lord, I do thank you that we can claim that care. Lord, I pray that as we go our separate ways here in just a moment, that we would give you the glory and the praise that you deserve for the care that you've shown to us, sinners, violators of your divine law. But you gave us a substitute for which our sins were satisfied, or our sin debt was satisfied, Lord, that we could have eternal life. Lord, I thank and praise your name. Amen. We're just going to take a time here of